IT transformation calls for true collaboration between cross-functional teams, from leaders to developers. Stop reacting to change and start leading transformation. Visit BoozAllen.com/Federal News Radio.
There are two new developments this morning that'll add fuel to the debate over the Trump administration's efforts to reshape the federal workforce. The Agriculture Department plans to relocate two offices and several hundred employees from the Washington, D.C. metro area. And the federal union says the Veterans Affairs Department has created chaos over its implementation of recent executive orders. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller and reporter Nicole Agresco are both with me now. They are following each of those stories, and they join me now to discuss. And Jason, let's start with you. You've been covering this USDA issue as they attempt to move forward really on what's been a longstanding priority for Secretary Sonny Perdue, moving a bunch of employees outside of Washington. What exactly is happening today?
You're right, Jared. This is part of Sonny Perdue's really aggressive stance to really organize the Agriculture Department. And they announced today that two offices, the Economic Research Service, ERS, and the National Institute of Food and Agriculture, NIFA, will be relocated, those employees that work there, outside the D.C. area. Now, this, by my count, based on information that the USDA puts on their website, is about 700 employees total. And where they're going to go, we don't know yet. Basically, Sonny Perdue says in a release that they put out today that they want to do two things, move these offices, one to a new location. They could be co-located in the same city, the same part of the country, or different. They're not sure yet. And two, they want to kind of make it easier to recruit people and retain people. And all this will be done by the basically end of 2019, so roughly about a year and a half.
Interesting. So, and meanwhile, Nicole, with respect to Veterans Affairs, this is not strictly a reorganization related issue, but it definitely impacts the federal workforce. What's happening in the latest iteration of labor battles at VA?
Right. So this does impact or have to do with the implementation of the president's executive orders, specifically the one referring to limiting official time. And VA put out some implementation guidance about mid-July or so that detailed how exactly they would implement that executive order. AFGE has come back now and is filing a grievance against the Veterans Affairs Department and with VA, essentially saying that not only have they created chaos in implementing that executive order, but there's some disagreement about whether their current or existing collective bargaining agreement has expired or not. AFGE says it was reinstated or renewed essentially March 15th of this year, but VA is saying that it hasn't been and is taking this opportunity to implement the executive order. So there's some confusion there.
How is there a dispute about whether or not a collective bargaining agreement is actually in effect? I tend to think of these things as having pretty firm end dates. Why is there even a dispute about that?
Well, there isn't necessarily a firm end date. It all depends on the language that is in the collective bargaining agreement and then what the two parties agree to in subsequent years following that. So there might be a tentative date included in an agreement, but both parties can go back to the table and essentially say, okay, we want this to roll over for X number of years or until this date. VA and AFGE had started negotiations, very preliminary negotiations, at the end of 2017 about a new collective bargaining agreement. And then AFGE says they were told as of this past March that VA wanted to extend that current collective bargaining agreement until they came up with something more settled and firm, which they haven't done.
And as you've reported on already extensively, AFGE and other unions already have multiple pieces of litigation pending against the administration relating to, I think, these very same executive orders. How are those two things connected to the extent they are?
Well, we're still waiting on a decision from a D.C. district judge. That decision's expected sometime around August 24th. It has to do with the summary judgment into the lawsuit that multiple federal unions have filed against all three of these executive orders. Interestingly enough, VA has only implemented guidance that has to do with the official time executive order. They have not asked AFGE or other federal unions, to our knowledge, to vacate office space, which has been happening with other agencies, particularly at Social Security Administration and HUD, for example.
And Jason, let's go back to you on the USDA issue. I know we said that we don't have a lot of details about all the moving parts of this plan to move 700 federal employees outside of D.C., but it is a continuing trend, to be sure, of the administration doing a lot of things that are going to impact the lives of federal employees.
Absolutely right, Jared. And one of the things we've seen from USDA, for instance, is they reduced telework, you know, going from, you know, almost unlimited telework to no more than one day a week, 2 days per pay period. And I think this is part of that effort to say, okay, how can we really reshape the way the USDA works? Now, let me give you an example. One of the things that USDA says is by moving these offices outside of D.C., they could attract and retain highly qualified workers who have interest in training in the agriculture world. Now, they said a lot of times these come from large land-grant universities. And where are those universities located? Well, they're not located in the D.C. area. They're located out west. And basically, USDA says they've had significant turnover in these positions, and it's been difficult to recruit new people to come to Washington, D.C. Now, the other piece of this that is this also they believe will save what they say American taxpayers, but really they'll save USDA rent, cost of living, employment costs. And in the long run, they think that they'll be able to retain more employees, which, as we know, is cheaper as they face tightening budgets. Now, some will say that that's frustrating because USDA has asked to, you know, the Congress to cut their budget, a 9%, you know, cut in the size of the agency's workforce, $6 billion decrease in funding for fiscal 2019. So they're asking for fewer employees, less money while they're trying to do this too. Now, it's interesting that this idea of moving employees outside of the D.C. area. It's something we've seen, you know, kind of talked about, but this is the first really proposal, at least serious proposal that we've seen. You know, Ryan Zinke, the Interior Department Secretary, discussed this as an option. There's a bill on Capitol Hill from Congressman Luke Messer, who has the strategic withdrawal of agencies for meaningful replacement, for meaningful placement, the Swamp Act, one of our favorite ones of the latest legislative session. But nobody until now really has said this is who or what will be moving. So I think this is a pretty significant thing. And Jared, one last piece of this. USDA also released yesterday a request for information, RFI, seeking market research related to site selection consultants to assist with this relocation decision. And basically, they're looking for help from commercial firms who have experience in transferring what they say is corporate operations to new sites. About seven areas they're looking at, including the experience in assessing responses from state and local governments, a time frame to do this, and any federal contract vehicles that currently exist that could help with these services. So again, a lot of moving pieces, as you said, but we're starting to see some clarity as they move along. I think, you know, a couple months from now, we'll get a lot better idea of what it's going to take to move, you know, two offices, 700 employees outside of D.C.
Yeah, and especially in the case of large agencies that are primarily involved in natural resource management, like the Agriculture Department, like the Department of the Interior, there are strong, pretty obvious arguments for why you would want people out working in the country closer to where their missions are. But on the other hand, both departments already do have a lot of those people outside of D.C., so it really depends a lot on which parts of the workforce we're talking about, it seems to me.
I think you're absolutely right, because so many times the people that are in the field are the ones that are connecting with the customers, the citizens, whether it's their farmers or producers, whomever, and the people in the D.C. area are dealing with the policy side, the operation side, even the technology side, the acquisition side. They don't necessarily need to connect, quote unquote, with the customer, with the farmer, with the producer. So it's unclear why they believe that there's this disconnection happening between what's happening here in D.C. and what's happening in the field. So I think that's one big question that USDA maybe would want to get out there and answer, to say where is the issue happening? Because if D.C., so many people are really focused on the administrative functions, then what are the people in the field doing?
All right. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller and Federal News Radio's Nicole Ogrisco both joining us with some tidbits of workforce news out this morning. Thank you both.
Thanks, Jared.
Thanks, Jared.
And you can read more on both of their stories at federalnewsradio.com.